clubhouse.
Well, what's Dabney Coleman doing these days?
I was going to say, besides Dabney Coleman, but I do believe he's off the earth. We always say alive or dead, so it's cool. Like, you could bring him on if you want to bring him on.
I think he's still around.
He is still with us.
He's 88. Yes. Look at him kicking it.
Book him.
Welcome to Interview with a Podcast, a Pod Clubhouse original. I'm Caroline from Daily Review.
And I'm Mike from Pop Culture Review. Each week on Interview with a Podcast, we sit down for a chat with a podcast or website and its creators.
Here at Pod Clubhouse, our main goal is to create a community of collaboration among podcasters and their friends.
If someone has something to say, has a passion for a topic, we want the Clubhouse to be a way for content creators to find their voice.
Through Interview with a Podcast, we'll be able to highlight a diverse array of podcasts from TV to music, movies to comedy.
Maybe it'll be a sports podcast one week, or a DIY home projects podcast. Hopefully we can help you discover the next must-listen-to true crime podcast.
Each episode gives you, the listener, a chance to meet and decide if their podcast is a fit for you.
That's right. We've got two goals here. With Interview with a Podcast, we hope to be a destination for listeners to get curated podcast recommendations. And for content creators, we hope to be an outlet to increase visibility and listenership. It's the rising tide lifts all boats approach to collaboration.
If there's a podcast you think we should feature on Interview with a Podcast, send us a DM and we'll see if we can set up an interview.
And with that, I think it's time we get to this week's guest.
This is Caroline.
And this is Mike. Welcome to Interview with a Podcast. Today, we're talking about the only podcast, maybe the only people who have ever seen that 1984 banger, Cloak and Dagger. We're talking to the Spy Hearts Podcast. Welcome, Scott and Cam. How are you guys doing?
Really glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Doing great. Thanks for having us on the show.
My family had that tape on VHS. It was one of our VHS tapes that we had. It was Cloak and Dagger. I was 6 when that movie came out. I did not see it in the theaters, but I watched it a lot. My sisters were quite older than me, and so I watched whatever they watched. I remember it scaring the living hell out of me, but I was also intrigued by it, too. And I don't think I've really thought about it since then until I saw your podcast and listened to it. It brought back all sorts of memories.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I mean, I can't help but wonder, they didn't used to mass produce VHS tapes that much. Was your family paying like $100 for a Cloak and Dagger VHS tape?
My uncle worked for HBO. He was a guy who was like in, he was one of the people who was introducing HBO into different markets. So we used to get like bootlegs and like VHSs that we would never afford. This was like pre-Blockbuster. Blockbuster didn't even exist then. So we had like a whole collection of videotapes from studios all over the place in our house. We also had HBO illegally for like 9 years before we got cable too. It was like, there were like 3 switches on the back of our television. It was like an AB switch. And then you had to make sure it was like, it was a whole thing to get HBO. But yeah, we used to get like every 3 months or so, we would get like a suitcase of videotapes. So
they would come in a suitcase. Nice.
It was like how it was passed. You know, we were Italian. We were doing all sorts of shady shit back in New York, you know.
Oh my God. That sounds like spy work. You're dropping off suitcases to each other and stuff. Yeah.
Very spy work.
My uncle would leave, you know, like a chalk mark on my grandmother's, like, you know, her break front. So I knew that there was a drop in the bedroom. I would go up. I would get the suitcase. I would empty the suitcase into my own duffel. I would put the suitcase back. It was a whole thing.
Was the suitcase handcuffed to your wrist?
No.
Always, Mike. What the hell? You don't do that?
The bag with the cannolis was handcuffed to my wrist. The cannolis were far more important than any VHS tapes. So you didn't fuck with my grandma's cannolis. They were pretty good. Guys, thanks so much for coming on here. Tell us a little bit about Spy Hearts.
Sure. Well, I'm Scott, and you just heard Cam as well. And we are the Spy Hearts podcast, as you said. And basically, every week we tackle the best and worst of spy movies to figure out if they make our illustrious knock list.
That's right. And the knock list is the acronym for Need to See Official Classics of the Spy Hearts Podcast. So every week we are looking at a movie and deciding, does it make the list of the all-time great spy films? And sometimes, you know, we watch good movies, but maybe they don't make the list. And so it's really trying to hone down what are the essentials of the genre.
You mentioned Cloak and Dagger. Unfortunately, that one didn't make our list. One hell of a scary kids film, I said at the time. It was my first time watching it for the podcast. And I was amazed that was being shown to kids in the 80s.
Oh, man. Missing Pinkies will do it every time. I feel like I cried my eyes out, Scott. It was a serious, damaging moment for me to be like, what? It's just the two of you guys, but you guys are in different parts of the world. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver, BC, and Scott's over in London, England. You may wonder how we would have connected. We actually met at a Star Trek convention back, 8-9 years ago, something like that. We would actually go to this convention every year together and hang out with a whole group of friends, and we would message back and forth on WhatsApp. And at a certain point, Scott and I just started talking about James Bond all the time, and that sort of led to Spyhards.
Well, I did a massive rewatch of the James Bond films, basically, from the start. And I ended up sort of live tweeting and live texting Cam all the way through. And I just thought, well, hey, let's just say it into a microphone instead.
You have a better history of it then, right? And other people could enjoy it.
Well, exactly.
So you guys are each other's co-hosts regularly. Do you guys ever have guests on?
We've just started. So we've had a few. We had an episode that came out a little while ago called on the Bourne Supremacy with a guest on there, David Lowbridge Ellis, who runs the License to Queer blog, which does queer readings on James Bond movies, which you might think is somewhat of a stretch considering that franchise, but it actually has some really great content there. And we brought him over to talk about Bourne, and he really had interesting angles on that film and some of the messages that could be seen in that film. And we sort of worked from there. And we also had a guest on for Men in Black 2. And so we try to, I think, mostly bring guests on for franchises where Scott and I kind of do the introductory episode. And then we bring guests on to talk about, you know, their, you know, take on the franchise after we've, you know, moved past the initial film.
Yeah, there's only so many times I can talk about Jason Bourne and Matt Damon playing Jason Bourne. So, you know, by episode, well, I don't know, the fourth film, well, actually it hasn't got Matt Damon in it at all, but the fifth film, it'd be nice to have a different take on him, really.
There seems to be a large world of spy films, especially depending on how you define spy film, which is, I think, part of your guys' analysis. But it also seems like it's really easy to fall into a trap of, all right, we're going to do Bourne. We're going to do, you know, Bourne Supremacy. We're going to do Bourne Identity. We're going to do 19 Bourne films. Then we're going to do, you know, 6 Mission Impossible films. We're going to do 27 James Bond films. Do you ever worry about getting into a rut with the franchise spy films? Or do you worry that it's going to diminish, like, the fun of doing the podcast? Because now you're talking about Jason Bourne for, like, the fourth or fifth time. How do you go about picking those episodes and keeping it fresh?
We have a large distance between the franchises. I mean, we don't really say it out loud, but you can kind of look through the episodes we've released so far, and it tends to go like a franchise film and then a standalone film. But we won't go back to the same franchise for at least 8 episodes.
And we tend to run about 3 franchises at a time, alternating between them. And so the idea is to kind of work through those, but work in lots of original films as well. It allows us to bounce around. You know, you say we did Cloak and Dagger, but that's a good example of something that's kind of outside, you know, what you might think of when you're, you know, tackling James Bond or Mission Impossible. We also did Jumpin' Jack Flash with Whoopi Goldberg. The idea is to always work in films that are a little outside of maybe what we would be ourselves personally, you know, obsessed with talking about, just for the variety. And a lot of the time we're actually surprised because we'll record one and think, well, you know, downloads are going to be, you know, lower for this one than for, I don't know, Goldeneye or something. And then we're often surprised that people are like super excited for an obscure one that we wouldn't have really thought would have that big of a following.
Yeah, it's funny. You guys mentioned Cloak and Dagger, the amount of messages we got about that film when we were building up to it and when it released, I was genuinely surprised because I thought no one had ever seen it in England. And yet I was being messaged by people who lived here that watched it when they were a kid, and it wasn't even released in the cinema here.
I mean, wow. It's a movie that no one has talked about. So you have this entire generation of people who saw it secretly somehow, and or saw it and haven't thought about it, haven't talked about it. And now it's, you know, you guys are kind of giving it like a voice and light again. When was the last time anyone talked about Dabney Coleman? I mean, he had a little cameo in Yellowstone last year, but you're pulling Dabney Coleman from like the height of Dabney Coleman. This is 9 to 5 era. This is War Games era, you know? So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I was really into it.
I'll let you in on a little secret. We have a film planned for sometime next year, and Dabney Coleman may well be coming back.
Ooh. I love that. That's a good teaser there, Scott.
That Dabney Coleman tease. That's going to get people going.
he is a titillating guest. Oh my gosh. Okay, so talk to me about how you guys define what a spy movie is and how you guys pick what you're going to actually do, like right now? Like, are you looking for something that's like maybe spooky spy stuff because it's like Halloween time? Or how do you guys do that? Do you delve into any TV stuff or is it all movie?
We do delve a little bit into TV, more so when we tackle a movie that is, for example, we did The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with, you know, Armie Hammer and Henry Cavill. And we decided, you know what, let's also touch on the pilot episode of the show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. So we'll talk about kind of a comparison point there. We'll do the same thing when we talk about The Saint, the Val Kilmer film, and we'll compare that to the Roger Moore pilot, I'm sure, as well. But we mostly focus on movies. Yeah, we don't tend to theme a lot. We are going to have a Christmas episode, but we tend to record quite a bit in advance, so sometimes that's tough to figure out like a Halloween-themed one. And quite honestly, can anyone name a really good or at least worthwhile Halloween spy film? There's not really much out there.
That's crazy. That seems like something that you should like be raising hell about, guys. Like, why not? That's like a perfectly good time for us to have something kind of like, you know, creepy, spooky, thrillery, right?
The closest I could think of was The Invisible Agent, which came from the Universal Horror franchise. But it's not really a Halloween scary type of movie in any way, shape, or form. You know, Scott, how would you say that we kind of define what a spy movie is?
I mean, have we really defined it at this point?
Well, you guys are looking for tropes, though, right? So what are some of the tropes that you're looking at when you're making your determination for your knock list? Because it's a little bit of a crapshoot until you've gone through the thing and decided whether or not it actually meets whatever your movable definition of a spy movie is. So what are some of the, I guess, the tropes that you're looking for in a good spy movie?
I think we tend to look for, you know, examples of espionage in the storyline. We look for anything where you can sum it up as secret agents or, you know, operatives, something along those lines. And sometimes, you know, we're working on right now on the franchise for Men in Black. And a lot of the conversation has been like, do these really apply? So it's often about, you know, organizations that operate in the shadows, basically.
I thought your analysis in actually Men in Black was pretty dead on. At the end of the day, it was much more of a detective story. It was much more of a cop story than a spy craft. The gadgets aside, I don't think the gadgets were enough to warrant that kind of placement in the spy vault.
And Men in Black advertises itself as a secret organization that's like a shadow company run by it doesn't even say if it's the USA or the world. So if you read that synopsis, you think, oh, maybe this is a spy film. But then obviously when you get into Men in Black, it's clearly a buddy cop sci-fi film.
You are pulling from a wide range of years. Where are you getting your ideas for movie? Unless you just have seen a lot of spy movies and you just have them all by hand. But you have like North by Northwest, you know, Passage. You have Hannah. You have Cloak and Dagger. But you also have then the more obvious things like the Bond movies and the Men in Black and the Bourne movies. Is there like a master list you're pulling from to give inspiration for what you should be looking at?
There is definitely a master list. Before we even started the podcast, I sat down and I mean, I'm a big cinephile, so I had already knew a lot of the spy films out there, but I've dug up all sorts of obscurities. I mean, it's a list that's incredibly long. It would keep the show running, I mean, to the end of our lives almost. And we are looking at every era. We've recorded episodes recently on, you know, movies from 1931 and 1935. So we really have almost 100 years of film to really bounce around with.
I mean, they're mostly Daphne Coleman films by the end, but...
Well, sure.
Obviously.
The plotting from 9 to 5 that the ladies do to get him into the BDSM, you know, gimp machine. That's some spycraft that they put
through. Does that count as espionage? I don't know.
Well, here's a funny one for you. So we had the list fairly set by the time we started recording our first few episodes. And then we just seemed to stumble upon weird movies and we go, oh, well, actually, yeah, that could be something to explore. There was one that Cam texted me about a month or two ago, which is Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman, I believe. Is it Double Team, Cam?
That's the one.
Yeah, that's a spy film, apparently, or loosely, potentially.
That is potentially, for sure.
I love that. For most people, do you need to be like a hardcore spy movie fan to listen, or should this be something that's like super accessible to everybody? And do you take any listener requests by any chance?
I'll ask the second question first. We take requests. We've had a couple that have been submitted and we've added to the list that we haven't thought about. There was one, we just released our episode on the 3 Days of the Condor, and there's a couple of Robert Redford films that have been proposed to us that we've added to the list. But in terms of the approachability, one thing we said in the beginning is, and Cam alluded to this just now, that he's quite the cinephile. I'm the complete opposite. I walk into these films and I struggle to get past the what's on the screen. I'm not very good at digging into the meat of it. whereas Cam brings that element. So I like to think people hear my side of it, and if they're not the cinephile type, they can see it from my view at least.
Yeah, like we kind of like to balance it out so that, you know, anyone who's listening, wherever they stand, because, you know, we have some, you know, people who listen to the show that are really, really hardcore Spy fans, and then others who are very entry level. I think there's always someone to connect with, and we try to work that with the guests as well, where some really know the genre incredibly well, and others are just movie enthusiasts who really enjoy Bond and Mission Impossible films or something.
And sort of a case in point of the different levels of approachability, there's a, in our episode for the Bourne Supremacy, the guest we had, he was speaking about the scene at the beginning of the film where Jason Bourne's running across the beach, and he was talking about how he identified that as a gay man who was still in the closet, and he saw Jason Bourne as running away from, you know, what his life is and trying to get away from it. To myself, when I said it on the podcast, I just saw it as a scene of Jason Bourne running.
Everyone has their own, you know, experience that you bring to the table. You were just running with your dogs before we started recording.
Just running, yeah.
So, I mean, you guys mentioned Robert Redford. Can we expect a sneakers episode at some point?
It's on the list for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm very
excited. That was such a middle school movie for me. I love that.
When did you actually start the podcast?
It was, I'm trying to think here. I guess it was about, a couple months ago, Scott?
Yeah, I believe it was the first or the second week of August. We put a primer episode out, like a 15-minute, we called it The Briefing, where it just sort of introduced us and our mission. But the first actual review, which was GoldenEye, the first Pierce Brosnan James Bond film, came out, I believe, the first week of August.
What kind of reaction have you had? Have you had a lot of feedback from listeners at this point? People excited for this hole being plugged in the podcast universe?
It's mostly hate mail.
Yeah, hate mail mostly, yes. It's just a lot of angry mail every week. Scott and I just message back and forth and go, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why? Why?
Well, yeah, if you know you're doing something right if you're pissing people off, right? So
that's right.
That's what Kevin Costner used to say to me.
That's what they are. They're disruptors. They're just disruptors.
Provocateurs, I believe, is actually their preferred phrase.
Those cinephiles. Oof.
I mean, we're already courting a certain amount of polarizing opinion when we have a knock list and a movie gets in or doesn't, because often people's favorites don't make the list. But so far, the feedback has been actually very strong, where people, regardless of where they're coming from, you know, in the realm of spy fiction, are really enjoying it and have, you know, approached us with things we would have never thought about, ideas and concepts, suggestions we never would have thought of, or even people like, I mean, I'll say I've done a lot of podcasting over the course of my life. This is the only show my parents really enjoy. This is the only one they'll even listen to. And so we're finding that the demographics have been very wide, just because, you know, when you have, for example, James Bond, a franchise that runs from 1962 to modern day, the sort of the ages of spy enthusiasts really does run quite broad.
Well, they're fun movies. I mean, they're the ones that get you, you know, on the edge of your seat. There's so much twists and turns, and I mean, those are the best movies, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
And I mean, there's not a lot of podcasts that are focused specifically on the spy genre. And that was something that Scott and I talked a lot about early on, was he had said, well, should we make this more of a Bond thing because we talk so much about Bond? And then we really dug, and there's a lot of Bond podcasts. And we thought, you know what, why don't we go a little bit broader and do spy films? Because it doesn't seem like there's anyone really tackling that in a way, you know, of a week to week, break down these movies for what they are and see how they actually speak to the larger genre. It just didn't really seem to exist. And so we thought, you know, we can really fill that.
I still lament not having a Bond podcast, but only for one reason.
Why?
Because I liked the name that I came up with. Are you ready for it?
I feel like you're egging me on to say like a bad word. Go ahead.
No. I pitched a couple of names and we ended up going with Spy Hards. But when we were looking at a Bond podcast, I came up with For Your Ears Only.
Nice.
Sexy. I like that.
And I pitched Live and Let Spy. Yeah.
And I would go with Podcast Galore.
Very good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
There's two of you. I would have gone with He's Shaken, I'm Stirred.
Oh, that's good.
Sexy.
Well, potential Bond podcasters out there. There's a lot of gold here. Yeah, exactly.
Get over to Pod Clubhouse and we will host y'all's Bond.
Yeah, you guys can do a dedicated podcast over at Pod Clubhouse.
Come play with us. We'll be over here. We'll be always just like shouting out random pussy galore jokes. Yeah. That'll be my
We'll do a strictly dedicated femme fatales and villains Bond podcast. We could talk about Jaws. My first Bond villain was Jaws.
So you guys, you've been doing this since August. Magus, you must have had some aha moments on air where something's clicked together or something's gone terribly wrong. So tell us about a memorable moment you guys have had so far.
I have kind of gotten the sense that through listeners as well as ourselves, I think a defining episode for us was on the movie The Ipcress File, which is a Michael Caine spy film from the mid-60s. And Scott, how would you describe your reaction to The Ipcress File?
I'm trying to come up with a good word for it. Ultimately, I didn't enjoy the film.
I was going to say, not good? It smells like not good?
Yeah, it's but you gotta put The Ipcress File in sort of perspective. It's a Michael Caine spy film made by Harry Saltzman, who co-made most of the original Bond films, the first load of them anyway. And it's sort of held as this top-notch British spy film. And I just didn't get it. And there's me like moaning about it on the podcast. And I got a bit of hate for that one, I have to say.
Isn't the internet great?
Oh, yeah. And it was fun because of the fact we really came at that one from very opposite points of view. And I loved The Ipcress File. I thought it was fantastic. And so that was a real, I don't know if it was an aha moment, because I think when you have a bit of combat on a podcast, it tends to lead to a fun listen. But it was definitely one that since then, when we put it out, we really did think like, I don't know, is anyone going to be excited for The Ipcress File? In North America, it's not even out on Blu-ray or anything like that. It just came out actually like 2 or 3 days ago, but when we recorded it, it wasn't. So we really thought, well, I don't know if people are going to be that excited. And then it turned into like, that was one of our most debated episodes. That was kind of a moment of like, oh, that's interesting. That made me a lot more confident in tackling more obscure things that maybe not, the mainstream doesn't really talk about.
And it kind of taught me to stick to my guns a little bit. I could just bend over and sort of yield my opinion to other people. But ultimately, if I didn't enjoy the film, I didn't enjoy the film.
Might as well just stick to your guns and let it fall where it may be. Because unless you're completely out of left field on everything, you'll have your backers and you'll have your detractors. And that makes for an interesting debate.
There is one more moment I would like to make mention of. And that's from our Men in Black episode. Cam, I'm sure you're familiar with this.
Uh-oh. Go for it.
So I'll set it up. We were talking about guest stars in the movie, and Cam pipes up and says, Vern Troyer was in this film. And I was like, was he? And then Cam says, yeah, it's that little alien baby that Will Smith is holding. And I was like, no. How does that even make sense? The size ratio is completely off. Vern Troyer is not the size of a mannequin baby. And that clip continues to make me laugh. I had to stop the podcast and double check that that was incorrect information. And yes, it was incorrect information, although Vern Troyer was in the film.
I was on the verge of grabbing my phone to go to IMDb to try and research it. And then you said, and then there was a break. And then you said, we stopped the podcast to look at it. And he was wrong. And I was so happy you did, because I would have had to run that down. It was bothering me so much. I was like, that cannot be. No, I mean, he's not a big guy, but he did not birth out of a woman in the back of a cab even with tentacles.
Our friends even have latched onto that clip, and it has now become something that I am ridiculed for endlessly. In the moment, I guess I had tunnel vision. I saw Alien Sun. I'm like, there's no other Alien Sun in this movie. This is it. It has to be it. And now, now it's like, I find it hilarious, but I will promise that my reporting is generally more accurate than that one.
If I heard correctly, you've lost rights to do any trivia reporting for the Austin Powers movies. I don't know. To be fair, the scene where you get to see the Men in Black headquarters with all the aliens and their families, including the sons, it's pretty early on in the movie. So, the tentacle swinging around makes much more of an impact. For people that are tuning in for the first time, what do you guys consider a good entry point, a good example of what your podcast is about and you guys kind of being at your best?
Well, feedback I've gotten, a lot of people felt like Ipcress File was a really strong one, just in terms of, the camaraderie between the two of us, and then also when we're going up against each other. But I would say, if you're looking for something a little more mainstream, I think both of the Bond films we've done so far, Dr. No and Goldeneye, are really good entry points. I think that you're going to understand the references we're making. You're not going to be hit with like 1930s Hitchcock references or something. It just really, I think, depends on what kind of movie you're looking for. If you're looking for something that's maybe a little more, highbrow, something like North by Northwest is a pretty strong example as well.
I can't really fault those choices. When I thought about this question, I immediately went to GoldenEye, but you're right, we hadn't really got into the swing of it, although I do really like GoldenEye as an episode. The only other one I can think of that I would tend to recommend to people is Hannah, the Saoirse Ronan film. I had no idea about that film going into it and thoroughly enjoyed it whilst watching it. And I think the passion for that film comes through in the podcast. And I think it also is quite a good way of describing what we do.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Yeah.
As you guys are moving forward and you are looking forward to new movies and things coming out and new guests, would you guys say that you have a dream guest? I want to ask each of you. So, Cam, you go first.
Oh, a dream guest. I mean, I'm always looking for someone who just has a lot to say about film in general or an interesting take on a film. But if I were just to go like pie in the sky, who would be a fun guest to have on? I think it would actually be George Lazenby. I think that would be absolutely bananas because, look, we all kind of bow down to a lot of the great Bonds. Like, believe me, I'd be terrified to have Daniel Craig or Sean Connery on. But George Lazenby seems like such a wacky character that I think that would just be, I mean, podcast fodder.
I feel so bad for him. He's the Ahmad Best of James Bond, you know, just this deride person, you know, doing his job, just trying to be an actor. And it would be an interesting get.
I was going to say, have you ever seen the movie Becoming Bond, the documentary on Lazenby?
I have not.
It's crazy, like full on crazy. I recommend it to anyone listening to check out Becoming Bond just to get a real insight as to the character that George Lazenby is.
How about you, Scott? Who would be your dream guest and what movie would you want to talk to them about?
Well, what's Dabney Coleman doing these days?
I was going to say besides Dabney Coleman, but I do believe he's off the earth. We always say alive or dead, so it's cool. Like, you could bring him on if you want to bring him on.
I think he's still around.
It's harder to manifest into reality if they're dead. Dabney Coleman, I think, is still alive. He just played John Dutton Sr. in Yellowstone last year, so let's see.
Yeah, I'm looking it up too.
He is still with us.
He's 88. Yes. Look at him kicking it.
Book him.
He's the one. You want Dabney on the show.
I mean, I feel like you guys are missing something with Danny Trejo and Spy Kids because he would definitely do it.
I would not turn down Danny Trejo.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down either at this point. Mr. Coleman, call me.
Does this mean we're getting Lazenby or Coleman?
You're getting Danny Trejo, all right?
Oh, okay.
I actually represent Danny Trejo. It's what I do on my side job. You're getting right. Danny.
I am more than happy to talk to Danny Trejo anytime. I mean, Desperado, come on.
He only talks about Machete and Lindsay Lohan being naked. That's all he talks about, but it still is interesting podcasting.
I was going to say, we'll have him on to talk about Cloak and Dagger. Part two.
What do you see next for the podcast? Where do you want to go? What are your goals? Do you have, you know, other podcasts in mind? Patreon? What's the sky for you guys look like?
I think for me, we've spoken about things like Patreon, and maybe that's something we can cover down the line. But what I really want to focus on is just getting a good, you know, content out to people who want to hear about spy films, and having some more guests on different episodes and different types of guests, because we've had a lot of podcast hosts. I would like to get maybe some film reviewers on or something like that. So that's a goal I'd like to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, we had an episode we did recently on, I talked about the Ipcress file a little earlier, and we did the sequel to that film called Funeral in Berlin, and we had a spy author come on. I'm not going to spoil who it is, but that episode had a different energy than what we've done typically on the show, but I thought was an absolutely fantastic episode of the show. So I'm very excited about having more guests with a kind of a little bit of a different, you know, position within sort of the spy fandom community. That's what I really look forward to. Patreon is definitely something we have discussed. I do love the idea at some point of being able to do creative stuff the way we want to do it for, you know, and give it directly to the listener. That to me is very appealing as well, kind of longer term.
And things like Patreon could maybe give us a framework to do maybe TV shows like we spoke about earlier, or different spy mediums other than just the films.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe even like a spy book club or something.
Nice. Oh,
I love that. Especially with the Bond stuff. That's a great companion, is doing the books also. It's an important thing that no one ever talks about, that these were actually mostly all books, especially the original core movies. Yeah, that would be interesting.
So for our listeners, where can they listen to you and when do you guys come out?
So we come out weekly. We can be found wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, pretty much go down the line. We're there, landing every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts for sure. And you can also check us over at Instagram or Twitter. Instagram, we do a lot of trivia based stuff, extra content we don't talk about on the podcast. So you check that out for sure as well. And that's also at Spy Hards.
Everything is at SpyHards for all of the different locations.
That's right. It's all SpyHards. The only other place you can find us is on letterboxd.com, where we actually have a written copy of the knock list up to date from every episode so far. So you can keep track of it that way there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's handy. I like that.
And Twitter, too. It's also at SpyHards on Twitter if people want to interact in a little more real time.
Yeah, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, it's all SpyHards, so SpyHards.
I was completely bowled over that no one had taken SpyHards.
I think the S helps you.
Yeah, I agree. I really like how Scott says H. Just for that, I think you had to have hard in there.
The accent strikes again.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today on Interview with the Podcast. You know, one thing we always like to do after we've had a podcast on here at the Clubhouse is to, you know, formally extend an invite to come and hang out with us and collaborate, jump in on one of our movie reviews or a show, or if there's anything you ever want to talk about within the spy realm or anything else you guys want to do. We would love to have you guys come back to the Clubhouse and hang out with us some more.
That sounds awesome. I am always down to do any sort of film review, regardless of genre.
And we have to pick an H one for Scott.
Scott only wants to review Dabney Coleman films.
Yes.
If you can find a Dabney Coleman film that starts with an H, I will be there.
We've got it made.
We will be looking. And if not, we'll do War Games, because that movie rocks. Everyone should talk about War Games all the time.
Oh, sign me up.
Guys, thanks so much for coming out today. And listeners at home, thank you for listening to Interview with the Podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Interview with the Podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us 5 stars.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.